Chapter 20. Primus. The phone should switch over to a different node, Cassandra explained as they angled through traffic and up onto the highway. In the distance, the smoke from the explosion billowed into the clear afternoon sky, its mushroom shape making the blast appear nuclear. Whatever speed Cassandra hoped for on the freeway was lost amid the stream of sluggish, rubbernecking gawkers and the frantic press of emergency vehicles powering north at only a slightly better rate. An ever-increasing flock of buzzing helicopters swirled around the inferno, like flies waiting for a good spot to set down on a carcass. "Do the Dreads know about Trevex propane?" Trace asked. He already knew the answer, but thought that responding to the question might deflect an impatient tirade that appeared ready to burst from a wired Cassandra.
"At least some of them have known about it, that's for sure. If they really are organized now, then it's a safe bet most of them do. Still, I have a hard time believing they would attack it directly. I mean, fires and explosions are death to the Dreads. An open assault in the middle of the day is insane. It may not seem like it, but Trevex is well defended. There are Michaels stationed there full time. I can't imagine the Dreads organizing the kind of numbers they would need to do this."
Trace nodded as Cassandra paused to hunt for a break in the traffic. The caddy was small and fast, but everyone seemed to be diving for the same lanes, their progress coming in spurts, punctuated by hard stops as Cassandra tried to exploit the slightest of gaps. Trace kept watch on her phone, waiting for the searching for active node notification to clear. They had lost sight of Goldbo and Corinth's cobalt blue Taurus, which had lagged progressively behind them.
Bloop.
The phone's luminescent screen bloomed to life, the searching for node message replaced with Cassandra's background screen, an old, desaturated photo of a young girl by an inflatable pool. Cassandra reached over to pry it out of Trace's grasp as the applications started to load, her distraction nearly sending them into the back bumper of a UPS truck. Trace kept it from her.
"You drive, I'll call. What do you want me to—"
The phone rang before he could finish his sentence. The caller ID picture popped up.
Looks like Hitler is calling. Should I answer?"
"That's Ramus, get it."
"This is Trace. Trace, is Cassandra with you right now?"
Ramus sounded like he was teetering on the edge of panic.
"Yes, we're headed to Trevex. Don't go there. Athena and I are headed to a safe house. Tell Cassandra we're going to the facility codenamed Walter. Tell her we have an 8-2 situation. They got Primus. Meet us at Walter, fast." Click.
"What did he say?"
Cassandra asked, eyeing the phone as if to chance another grab at it.
"He said the Dreads got Primus and to meet them at Walter, fast. Something about an 8-2.
"Really?"
"Yeah.
The phone rang again, and the caller ID popped up.
"Looks like the Prince of Darkness himself this time. Goldbo?
"You're smarter than you look.
Who is Corinth? Stalin? And what do you have for me?" he asked. "Answer the phone, Jarhead."
Trace punched accept and relayed their position to Goldbo, as well as Ramus's instructions. The former Navy SEAL was as shocked about Primus and the 8-2 as Cassandra was. She bullied her way through three lanes of traffic, working the clutch and the brake until Trace thought they might drop out of the car. In between yanking the steering wheel and the gear shift, she would lay on the horn, cramming the nose of the caddy into unaccommodating traffic in a mad attempt to reach an off-ramp and maneuver back onto the city streets.
"What's an 8-2 situation?" Trace asked. "I haven't heard of that one before."
"In an active operation, it's a code that indicates the odds. What Ramus was saying is that he and whoever is in the car with him are being pursued by approximately 8 Dreads. But that's the least of our problems. The Dreads have Primus."
"Primus? The computer program?"
"It's not just a computer program. It's the primary database, a mirror of the one at Deep 7.
Trace had learned about Deep 7, the Ash Angel organization's command center, in one of his classes.
"Don't they have a security precaution for this kind of thing?" Trace asked.
"Yeah," Cassandra said. "It should have been auto-destroyed in the event there was an attack on Trevex. If the Dreads are able to decrypt it, the Ash Angel organization will be severely compromised, and I mean everybody run for a South American country and pick coffee beans for a couple years kind of compromised. It's impossible. just impossible. It's got a GPS transponder, unless they figured out how to shut that off.
And Walter?
St. Mary's Basilica. It's an old Catholic building downtown. There's an Ash Angel substation there underground.
Cassandra let out a celebratory yes as she managed the relatively traffic-free off-ramp with only a couple angry middle fingers for her abrupt tactics. Her phone rang again. This time, the screen was a graphic with BFF in swirly red letters.
Your BFF is calling, he said. Are we 14 now?
She lunged and stripped the phone from Trace's grasp just as he was about to answer it.
Maggie, Cassandra said. What happened? How could they have taken Primus?
Trace could only wait as the side of the conversation he could hear consisted of,
uh-huh, no way, and you've got to be kidding me.
It ended when Cassandra said,
Ramus is trying to call through.
She tapped the screen and handed it to Trace.
You talk to him.
This is Trace. We're not going to make it to Walter, Ramus yelled.
A scream and shattering glass came next, followed by silence.
They've been hit, Trace said.
The call died.
Not sure if that means the phone did too.
Cassandra swore.
Quick, hit the home screen, contacts, find Ramus, click options, and then track. Fast, Jarhead.
Trace's thumbs went into overdrive as he pecked the screen. When he tapped track phone, the message said, phone unavailable. Trace told Cassandra, and she shook her head.
Did he say who was with him?
Athena.
Trace whipped back to contacts, finding Athena, her picture a warty nose witch, and repeated the process.
I've got them. They're about a mile east of here. Looks like they're still moving. Slowly, though.
Cassandra wheeled the car around and stomped on the gas.
We've got to see if we can do this without giving up our advantage. Just remember, we may not be able to save Ramus and Athena. That's not what's important.
Guess Ramus might get to see if he likes being 44-2'd.
Cassandra shot him a disappointed look.
Don't be cold, Jarhead. No one likes doing it, and no one likes being left to die. You stay in the Ash Angels long enough and you might have to call it yourself. Might be today. Where am I going?
It was odd to hear Cassandra defend 44-2 or Ramus. Trace guided her through the streets toward the glowing dot on the phone. The boxy buildings of downtown Phoenix cast shadows over the roads, the wide streets and walks filled with people and cars and normalcy, a mass of humanity unaware of the struggle roiling around them.
There they are, Cassandra said.
Ramus, morphed younger than usual, was limping down the sidewalk in his dark slacks, blue shirt, and red power tie. A wide-eyed Athena in black slacks and a white shirt walked glued to his side. Something about her gait wasn't right either. Not so much as a hitch in her step as too much of a sway. A group of five men, red auras burning, tailed, looking like a noonday gang out for a stroll among the average citizens on the street. Trace tapped the witch picture in contacts and handed it to Cassandra when it rang through.
You got any weapons in here?
She pointed at the glove compartment where he found two stingers. He shoved them into his inner jacket pocket.
Ramus? Yeah, we just passed you. You got five on you. Look, get to a bus stop and head for Walter. Looks like there's a stop about 100 yards ahead. You can hallow, right? Well, do it. I'm sending in Jarhead.
Trace?
Yeah. He'll be behind you. I'll see if I can get Corinth over there, too. I'll linger nearby. Just get to the bus. Don't stop for anything.
Cassandra ended the call, and after turning a corner, pulled swiftly to the side, tires squealing as she braked.
Get on the phone and call me. Move.
Trace hopped out and jogged ahead as Cassandra sped away. He speed-dialed Cassandra as he turned the corner, the five dreads nearly 50 yards ahead.
Where were the other three?
Maybe the wreck had taken them out, or had Ramus disabled them. He glanced over his shoulder and fast-walked as inconspicuously as he could to close the distance.
How far?
Cassandra asked.
I'm 30 yards behind. Ramus and Athena have got about the same distance to go to get to the bus stop.
When they get to the bus stop, don't get too close to them unless you have to. You need to make sure they get on the bus.
Got it.
Trace continued to close the gap.
Ramus and a shaky Athena manage to reach the bench by the bus stop sign, two oblivious locals loitering about, entrenched in their phones. The dreads spread out around their quarry, talking among themselves in low tones. If the dreads were unwilling to attack in broad daylight on a public street, then Ramus and Athena had a chance. As the dreads pressed in, the white aura that surrounded Ramus intensified and then pulsed down into the ground, each beat of Virtus expanding a hallowed space around him. The two normals at the bus stop looked up as if a pleasant breeze had wafted by, and then returned to their phone screens. As if struck by a sudden gale, the dreads flinched backward in unison. Trace took the opportunity to step into the glowing pool, keeping the phone to his ear, playing like he was talking to a friend.
"I got the bus," Cassandra informed him. "It should be there in less than 2 minutes. What are the dreads doing?"
"Not much at this point." Trace doubted the dreads enjoyed much in the way of formal training. The way they conspicuously stood around, malevolent gazes fixed on Ramus, assured Trace that these five dreads had the sensitivities of a rabid dog. How they expected to drag Ramus and Athena off somewhere they could drown and kill them was anyone's guess. But Trace thought perhaps they might enjoy menacing their victims just for the torturous fun of it, even if they couldn't have the pleasure of snuffing them. Uncomfortable as the bus stop felt, he couldn't imagine what riding a public bus full of dreads would bring. A quick glance down at the street revealed the bus lurching around a corner, Cassandra's caddy a couple cars behind.
"I've got you," Trace reported.
"Yep, I see the little cluster of red up there. Hope Ramus can keep up with the hallowing."
Trace glanced back worriedly. He'd forgotten that the divine gifts had their limits. Ramus's face remained stoic, while Athena kept her gaze firmly forward. Trace had an idea. He killed the call with Cassandra and shoved his phone in his pocket.
"Hey," he said, addressing everyone at the stop. "Anyone got a smoke? I'm dying here."
He gave the dreads a supplicating stare, letting his eyes slide over one who had a rectangular protrusion in his shirt pocket.
"Get your own weed, loser," the pock-faced, dark-haired dread retorted.
Trace almost grinned, face turning to mock rage.
"You got a problem, bro?" he said with some attitude. "I just need a smoke, man. You cheap? Or did your boyfriend tell you not to share with anyone but him?"
That did it. Ramus, Athena, and the bus vanished from the dread's attention, his cohorts clustering nearby. With a snarl, the dread shoved Trace into the hallowed zone, nearly sending him into the back of the bench. In fury, the dread entered the hallow, face registering some discomfort as he crossed the line. The dread grabbed Trace by the lapels as the bus screeched to a halt. Trace grinned, and with a little boost of his divine strength, brought his forehead down on the dread's nose, a sickening crunch rewarding his efforts. Inside the confines of Ramus's hallowed bus stop, the dread would feel pain, maybe the first he'd felt in years. His stunned, shocked face revealed his surprise, and he sank to the pavement in agony. Behind him, the bus doors opened, and the nervous locals, sensing a brawl brewing, got on quickly. Ramus and Athena went next, the hallowed circle moving with them. Trace managed the bus stairs as Ramus's movement forward finally put the injured dread back on normal ground, his rictus of pain fading immediately, replaced with hate. Trace kept up appearances by flipping the quintet the bird as the doors closed. Smiling, he turned and mounted the bus. Hissing brakes released, and the door closed as he dumped his spare change in the receptacle of the anxious bus driver. Trace's smile vanished as he headed down the aisle. Two dreads sat near the back. Ramus and Athena chose to stand near the front, gripping the straps. Trace slid by them, Ramus meeting his eye for the briefest of moments, and sat midway back. There was no need to engage the dreads unless he had to, but the red aurid menaces popped out of their seats and started forward. Trace's phone rang and he grabbed it.
"You know," Cassandra said, "sometimes I am actually not ashamed of you, Jarhead. Nice work at the bus stop. I think we're in the clear. They don't appear too anxious to get busted by the cops, so I think they're just screwing with us."
"Yeah," Trace said,
mind racing for an oblique way to say what he needed to as one of the dreads passed.
We've still got a couple more to go here.
Do you mean stops or dreads?
The second.
Wow, they're all over the place. Just keep cool. You've only got a couple more miles until the Basilica. Corinth and Goldbow are there, plus a team of Michaels will be there in 5. The dreads may show up, but unless they want war and a boatload of law enforcement, I think they'll behave. I don't want you to get off at that stop. Wait for the dreads to get off, and I'll pick you up at the next one.
Sounds good. Keep in touch.
He hung up the phone and turned his attention to the dreads who now crowded the personal space of Ramus and Athena. The other passengers on the half-full bus ignored each other, save the one person on every bus who seems to be a friend to the world and wants to chat with everyone. The person Trace managed to sit by. He was an older gentleman with wispy, unkempt hair and a protruding gut on which he balanced a half-eaten bag of pork rinds. A big bag. He wiped his hands on his denim shorts, his pasty white legs shooting down to a pair of nasty blue flip-flops.
"Where are you going, son?"
he asked, face brightening with the opportunity for social interaction.
"Downtown," Trace answered, only paying him half a mind.
The dreads leaned in close and whispered something to Athena. She glued herself to Ramus, shrinking in on herself.
"I'm headed to the Basilica. Ever been there?"
"No," Trace answered, wishing the old guy would buzz off.
"I go there plenty. Great place of worship."
He cast his gaze forward for a moment.
"You know, looks like those two creeps are giving that lady a hard time.
Shame. That fella she's with just keeps his finger up his nose. Back in my day, we wouldn't let a couple of hot dogs treat a lady like that. Excuse me, young man. Here, hold these." He handed over the pork rinds. "Try some." Trace wrinkled his brow.
Hot dogs?
He rifled through his brain, trying to remember what cultural or racial group had ever had the epithet of hot dog applied to them, but he came up empty. Maybe the old guy meant hot shots, and the neurons in his brain had taken him toward his stomach. The gaffer worked his way steadily forward, having a hard time negotiating the swaying and lurching of the bus. Trace stood and followed him. The dreads might not appreciate the old man's interference. Rather than speak, the man waited for the bus to come to rest at the next stop, then reached out and laid his hands on their backs. Trace's eyes shot wide as divine light burst from the old guy's palms and sank into the dreads. Immediately, both their eyes teared up as if they were in intense pain, and they released the loops to hold their heads in agony.
"Maybe you two should move along now before it gets worse," the old man counseled, guiding the dreads back to the middle doors as he passed Trace.
Like obedient sheep, they disembarked, and when the bus doors closed, the bus was dread-free. The old man found an unoccupied seat at the rear of the bus, beckoned to Trace, and invited him to sit down.
"You need to learn to keep your breathing going," the old man admonished him, pulling a bag of sunflower seeds out of his shorts pocket. "You must be new." "Yep," Trace answered.
"What did you do to them?"
He shrugged. "A combination of curse and pacify. Very effective in these sorts of subtle situations where guns and blades won't do the trick."
"Who are you?"
"My name's Dolorim."
"Are you a Gabriel?"
"No. I quit the Ash Angel organization almost 20 years ago," he said between breaking seed shells open with his teeth.
"Why?"
"Lots of reasons. The AAO was making things worse. The way of the old masters just felt better to me."
Trace was about to inquire further when his phone rang.
"How'd you get those two off the bus?" Cassandra asked in disbelief.
"I didn't. Look, I'll explain later. Gotta go."
Dolorim regarded him with interest, eyes measuring him up.
"Your trainer?"
"Yep." He nodded in understanding.
"Well, if you want to be an Ash Angel the right way, come to the Redemption Motorcycle Club and ask for me. God didn't mean for the Ash Angels to change the world with gunfights and investment banking. Enjoy those pork rinds. Trace had 100 questions, but the bus stopped in front of the arched windows and bright walls of St. Mary's Basilica, and Ramus, Athena, and Dolorum got off. Corinth, Goldbow, and a couple of glowing Ash Angels Trace didn't recognize loitered about. The dreads, thankfully, were nowhere to be found. Trace relaxed until he remembered why he was on the bus in the first place. Trevex had been destroyed, and Primus was in the hands of dreads. He dug his phone out of his pocket and redialed Cassandra. "They're all off and safe," Trace reported.
"I see them. Get off at the next stop. We just got tracking on Primus. It's moving south into town in a fairly random way. They've got some Michaels tracking it, but Arcus Magdalene wants us nearby. Now, how did you get those dreads off the bus?"
"Like I said, I didn't. Have you ever heard of Dolorum?